Cold days like this are cruel. You cough, you splutter, so does your car. Its battery dead, killed by an icy claw. Will anyone stand up to winter? Yes, you. Come to Halfords. We fit new batteries on the spot from just £15. And we're open late, 7 days a week. Find your local store now at halfords.com. Ready for the cold snap? Ready for anything. Halfords, for life's journeys.
Batteries sold separately. Selected vehicles only. In most stores, opening times vary.
Hey guys, welcome to The Medium Matters. You're on with your host, Chantel, and I have my lovely co-host, Marie Rose, with me.
Hello.
Hello. How is everyone? Fabulous, I hope. Before we get started with the episode, I just want to take a minute out and thank all of our listeners. Thank you for hanging with us, for following me on Twitter, on Facebook, sending your emails, and leaving your amazing reviews on Stitcher and iTunes and Blog Talk Radio and you name it. I love it. Thank you so, so much. This means the world to me. I appreciate all of your love and support. I do want to send a special shout out to a new listener by the name of Lori. Lori was kind enough to leave a really cool review that says, "Okay, I finished listening to all three podcasts and I'm not ashamed to admit that I feel like a kid on Christmas morning." Lori, thank you so much. I'm dedicating this episode to you and I hope that I'm able to deliver amazing content that keeps you coming back for more. Just to let you guys know, in the month of August, Marie and I are going to attend Pensacola Comic Con, and we are going to do something extra fun. We're doing a ghost hunt with none other than Ghost Brothers. That's right, we're going to be spending the evening of August 19th with Dalen, Jawan, and Marcus of Ghost Brothers. You can find them on Destination America. Really amazing show. So hopefully we get to spend some time with the guys and do an interview, but if not, at a minimum, we are going to have some recordings from that night, and I hope it turned out really well. We're also going to be joined by another podcaster at the end of August, so just be on the lookout for some really cool content that's coming up. And as always, if you guys have any questions or topics that you'd like me to cover, find me on Twitter and Facebook at Medium Matters. You can also send me an email at mediummatters@gmail.com. So feel free to reach out. I appreciate all of you. So tonight, guys, we're talking ghost stories, personal and otherwise. And it is the perfect time to do this because there is a ridiculous tropical storm outside. And you'll probably hear rain and thunder. And it's dark as hell, and I think the stars aligned so that we could do this podcast on such a wonderful evening.
Yep. Thank you, Tropical Storm Cindy.
Thank you, indeed. So we're going to kick things off and start telling some ghost stories here. So I think, Marie, we can start with some of our own personal ones.
Sounds good.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You start.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So in an earlier podcast, I had talked about how when I was like 14, 15, I tampered.
Your Ouija board incident.
My Ouija board incident. Yes. And I did talk about one night that was, you know, we had a lot of activity and it was really creepy and all that good stuff. So one of the, or I'll say maybe the straw that broke the camel's back was, and this is just like, I'm recalling it right now because there's probably other crap that happened that might make me pull my covers up one of these nights. So there was this one particular night, and I'll say at the time, my family and I had two cats and we had a beagle who was, I mean, he was my buddy, and his name was Buddy. oddly enough. But in any event, so when I would go to bed at night, I would try to make sure that I had someone with me, one of my cats, my dog, preferably everyone. So this night I went to sleep and I had I slept on this ridiculous bed. It was so enormous. It was like a California king maybe, and I mean so tall.
Just for you?
Yeah, like just for me. It was so tall, this bed. And I mean, like, as you're coming up the stairs and turning onto the second floor, you can see like all day long under the bed. Like all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I'm just trying to set the picture here. So the bed is in the, you know, up against the wall, middle of the wall. There's walk space all around and windows all around this room. And so, you know, a lot of crazy crap has been going on. I have the curtains all the way open. I need full moonlight in this room so I can see what's up. And I bring one of my cats and my dog into the room. And I feel safe because I have other people with me now. And my cat proceeds to, instead of laying next to me, she is walking the perimeter of the mattress and looking up at something. And I am saying, come on, come lay down. You want to lay down? Come lay down. And scared out of my mind because I'm like, what the hell is she looking at? So she continues to do this and would stop and is looking up at something and kind of turn her head a little. And then, like, she's following someone around the perimeter of the bed. My dad comes in. And he's like, oh, I'm going to let Buddy out. And they all take off. I'm like, freaking awesome. Now I'm by myself in this damn room. So I suck it up. I am laying there. I have the covers pulled up to my chin. And I'm just kind of looking around. And I'm like, all right, I need to go to sleep. Let's just do this. And then I start to feel the covers pull from one side of the bed.
What?
Yes, straight up, the freaking covers start to tug ever so slightly. And I'm like, that was nothing. I'm imagining it. I'm just scared. And so it happens again, and it's a little bit stronger. And it happens again, and it's a little bit stronger. Like, this is not my imagination, and I know that for real. And my heart is beating out of my chest. And then it goes from that to there's slight weight on that side of the mattress, ever so slight. And I can feel the pressure on the bed, and I can feel, like, it felt like when someone sits on top of the covers and you're under them and it kind of tightens around you.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like on one side. And so it tugs again, and then it feels like weight again. And this weight is slowly moving closer to my body. And I'm laying there and I'm praying and I'm looking around this room frantically and trying to figure out what the hell is happening. And eventually this pressure, this weight on the bed gets close enough to me and I bolt. I throw covers. I fling the door open. And fortunately, it was on the other side of the room away from the door. So it gave me an escape route. Thank you for that, whoever you are. But... And I take off running and run upstairs to our roommate's room. And I bust in there and she's like, oh my God, are you okay? You look like you've seen a ghost. And I honestly can't tell you if I started crying, if I was just babbling, if I said nothing at all. I just know my heart was coming out of my chest. Something was in my room and made itself very known. And I told her about it and we hung out in there for a little while so I could calm down. And for whatever reason, we thought it wise to go sleep in there. I don't know why, but she came with me. And all night, it was so hard to sleep because I was just looking around and convinced that, you know, somebody was standing next to me. I could feel it. I could just feel it. And that was probably, for me, the straw that broke the camel's back.
You sure she just wasn't messing with you because you had the California King?
Someone was messing with me, not of this realm. Yes, creepy, creepy indeed. I will never, ever, ever forget that place or all the things that we went through.
Well, first of all, I love the fact that you just referred to your cats and dogs as people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And for you fans and audience members that can't see Marie, her jaw is a little dropped. And she's looking real surprised. And I'm sure wondering why we're friends. I don't bring that baggage with me, I promise.
Oh, I know that.
I left that behind. Yeah, really, really creepy stuff. As we go through these episodes, more of this stuff will come up. I'll remember more and more.
But you never found out what it was or...
Never.
Who it was.
No. Or... I think, you know, thinking back and kind of remembering the things that happened, I do know that there were multiple energies. And one was good, but I was too afraid to know that at the time. And I see that now.
Yeah.
But the others, and I think there were the lower energies far outweighed the good ones. And I think there were quite a few of those. Several. I really do. It was a lot of crazy stuff. I would wake up with bruises. There was a time my grandmother was in the living room. And I'm walking past her and she stops me and says, she's asking me what happened to my legs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm looking down at my legs and they look perfectly fine. And she is looking panic stricken and is like, your legs, what are these bruises on your legs? And she's telling me that there are handprints on my legs. And I look at the back of my legs as best I can. And I seriously have a handprint on each leg, on the back of each leg, like right above my knees on the back of my legs.
And you don't recall?
Nothing. I don't recall anything. They didn't hurt. I couldn't even tell you how long they'd been there. But yeah, they were large handprints. Looked like a human hand, but it was a large handprint.
Wow.
And they were bruised. Bruised on there. Very crazy. I really wish you guys could see Marie's face right now. It's good times.
I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I feel like my life is so sheltered.
Well, this is the perfect night. I'm very excited to do this.
This is the perfect night to do this.
I wish we were YouTubing right now. No. I wish everybody could see your face. This is the best. I love it. Okay, so my spooky crap. What is your spooky crap?
In previous podcasts, I've brought up my Thai grandmother. Mm-hmm. And this, I didn't experience this personally, but I remember it vividly. She had passed away, and I remember my mom being really upset because she couldn't make it to Thailand in time for the funeral and whatnot. So she had a dream, and she dreamt about the funeral. She was having a conversation with one of her friends in Thailand who had attended the funeral, and she proceeded to tell her friend about her dream. And she described the people who were there and proceeded to describe what they were wearing. And it freaked her friend out because my mom had it down to a T.
Wow.
She saw it all. And she said that there was a dog barking on the other side of the fence. Everyone was outside. There was a dog barking on the other side of the fence. And there was her mother, my grandmother, talking to the dog. Like she was saying goodbye to the dog. Her friend proceeded to tell her that, nobody could get that dog to shut up. Well, now she knows why. And
wow.
Yeah. And there were pictures sent of the casket. And there was a white shimmer above the casket. And I remember looking at the pictures thinking it was like a flash flare or something weird, but I just never seen anything like that. And my mom's like, no, they said they were there. There were that apparition above the casket was not there. So they really feel like they have captured spirit somehow. Grandmother was pretty involved in nuns. Mm-hmm. The Buddhist nuns in Thailand. And so, like I said, strong religious ties with my grandmother. And when she passed, I guess there was one man who owed her money. Well, apparently she paid him a visit before she crossed over. Visited him in a dream. Because stories came back to my mom that this man went running to see these nuns with cash in hand of what he owned my grandmother. And he paid that debt.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, grandma made her rounds.
No doubt.
Before she crossed over. And
something.
Yeah. Well, she still makes her rounds. It's much better now.
Wow. That's, I've heard stories too of my grandmother visiting, and I haven't heard all of them, but I did hear about my grandmother visiting a family member, and I don't remember if it is her brother or an uncle. In any event, he, not too long after she had crossed over, he had an incident one night when he was asleep, where he woke up in the night and suddenly saw her standing at the foot of his bed, and she had his back to him in like a, maybe like an upset or disapproving kind of manner or something like that.
Like she's mad at him.
Yeah. She's got some beef. And he was pretty shaken by that. I mean, I don't know all the details. I didn't get that firsthand, but I do remember the family member who was telling me about it laughing, because they didn't have a great relationship. He had, just done some shady stuff. But so it was just funny for her to, and it's so like her, give you the cold shoulder or the cold back,
as on her way out.
Right. Like, I got a message for you, sucker. So. So that was interesting.
Have you ever been lying in bed and felt like one of your animals just jumped up on the bed?
Yes.
And you turn around and there's nothing there?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I am convinced that my previous pets come and just jump on the bed like, hey, what's up?
I believe that. I believe that's true.
That freaks me out sometimes.
Yeah. Before my grandma had left us, I mean, I hadn't experienced anything like that. She wasn't, nothing had gone on. I was in bed one night, turned the TV off, was, getting ready to fall asleep. My dogs sleep on my side of the bed in their beds. So I really just have to look over the edge of the mattress and there they are. At the time we had a different bed. Our bed was lower. So I had turned, I had gotten comfortable in the bed. I had my back to the edge. And I close my eyes. I'm getting comfortable. And I suddenly feel a weight behind me. And I'm thinking it's my lab, Huey. And so I kind of prop up on my elbow and turn around to tell him to lay down. And there's no Huey. And I look over the edge of the bed and Huey's out cold on his back. Like legs sprawled out. I mean, he is out. And my girls were also out. So I'm like, what the hell? Which, took me way back to the hauntings, back in our condo with all that crap that happened. So that stuff always makes me so super nervous. And I'll tell you what I did. I grabbed the remote, turned the TV right back on, and stayed awake for another hour. I said, nope.
Not happening. Mm-hmm. Not today.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, that's definitely happened to me. It happens every now and then. And now, I mean, it still happens, but it's different now where I know it is healers and it's, light beings.
You know what they are now.
Yeah. Now I absolutely know. It's like I've seen them, and it's also a knowing that, they're there for me and to help me with things and, heal whatever I have going on. So it's a lot different. But every now and then it's still, I'll tell you what, even though I know what it is, it still is unsettling sometimes because I don't immediately see them and they don't always make their presence known to me, like the healers and the angels. Mm-hmm. And I know, it's not to scare me or anything. It's, in their minds, they're probably like, you should be used to this. We're here all the time. But you can hear that rain.
Yeah.
Man, that's loud. But it still, you know, sometimes it still startles me. And so I just, you know, have to say, not tonight, guys. I don't need the healing tonight. Or just wait till I fall asleep and don't wake me up.
Yeah.
So that seems to work out really well.
Don't disturb the sleep.
Yes. Do not disturb. But yeah, I've that has happened to me for sure.
But you know what? Now that I think about it, it really hasn't happened since we learned how to clear our mm-hmm. homes.
That's interesting.
That just popped into my head.
So do you feel like it was, you know, if you think about it like that, and in terms of you've cleared your home and you haven't experienced it again, do you think that it was actually something of a low energy or?
No, I don't think so.
Or do you think it's like
I think it just cleared the house.
Yeah. Because possibly it just, you know, they were dropping in to check on you and you're good. So they're like, all right, job done.
Yeah, see ya.
Doesn't mean they're not with you.
That's true.
But they don't always make their presence known.
Yeah. And we've got the two cats in the house now. And I'm sure, and they stay busy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know, one's pretty vocal and one's just lazy. But
that guy's not clearing anything out.
The donut-loving cat is not chasing anything. He might just give it the evil eye. And
okay, so you guys, we got together this morning to meditate for summer solstice. Sorry about that. And afterward, we nourished our bodies with donuts.
And hot tea and fruit.
Right. There was some good stuff in there. I mean, it was all good, but some healthier stuff. So in any event, we are enjoying our feast, and suddenly Marie is giving some donut pieces to her cat. I've never seen a cat eat donuts in my life. Now I can cross that off my list because
he's a fat Siamese.
He is so delicious. And that was probably one of the cutest things I've seen in a long time. I mean, he went in on those donuts.
Oh, yeah. He just loves carbs. Right.
I was just going to say that.
He loves goldfish.
I thought that was so funny when you said that.
He loves pizza crust.
That's crazy.
And the thing is, we don't feed him people food.
Mm-hmm.
Probably until recently. And he's, what, 12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't really even had people food until this past year, probably.
Wow. And come to find, he's a carb whore like the rest of us.
Yeah.
That was such a funny sight. I'm like, this cat is eating donuts. Well, not donuts. He's eating like donut pieces, like tiny pieces. But
oh, he would have eaten the whole donut if I had let him. But I don't share like that.
I love you, buddy, but. That's funny. Well, what else do we have?
Estes Park, Colorado.
Right.
I went up there to give a presentation at a conference.
Well, what you're talking about, clarify, is the hotel.
The Stanley Hotel.
Right, which is famous for Stephen King's The Shining.
Yes.
Red rum.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie?
I've seen pieces of it.
Oh,
I don't.
So good.
I don't do scary movies very well.
Well, I've watched it enough for both of us.
It gives me nightmares. I find out that this hotel's haunted. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And get there. And the only haunting I saw was one of my conference mates who had hung out at the bar a little too long. He went to his room and put a sheet over his head and came down to the lobby and started to follow people as they were checking in. He would follow them down the hall, going woo until they got to their room.
That's scary.
And he was an idiot. It was hilarious. And nobody complained. They just let him do his thing. And in the morning, he was thoroughly embarrassed, and we all laughed. But I went through that hotel as much as I could. You know, I found Stephen King's room. And
did you?
Yes. And
do they rent that room out?
I'm trying to think. I want to say they did, but maybe it cost extra. I mean, I've stayed in various parts of that hotel. There's small buildings off to the side that used to, you know, where the staff used to live. You know, I've stayed in those rooms and you know, I've gone down to the basement where they've got, you know, like a little museum set up, and I never saw a thing. But on the other hand, I wasn't attuned yet either.
Right.
So if I were to go today, oh man, I'd be having amethyst in every pocket, on my bracelets, my necklace. Oh yeah, yeah. I'd be protected up the yin yang.
Oh yeah.
Before I step foot in that place. Because even, I mean, it looks kind of scary even from a distance, because mm-hmm. it's just big white building on top of a hill.
Right. It's in the middle of nowhere, right?
It's in Estes Park in Colorado. Right. And I mean, it's a gorgeous hotel. It's fun. And mm-hmm. but it's they say it's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only ever seen the living haunt it. So drunks haunt it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary. I've seen some of that myself. I may have been some of that.
That's scary.
So my family has a lot of stories, because my mom and, you know, the aunts and my grandma and all of them came from the Dominican Republic, where a lot of different things are practiced. And so they have some very interesting stories. And there's one in particular that all of the kids grew up with. And the way it goes, and I'm going to try to remember this. I mean, I've heard this since I was little, but let me see if I remember this. So apparently one night, the way their home was set up at the time, my mom and my youngest aunt slept in the living room, and their bed, or, you know, the sofa sleep or whatever it is that they slept on, had a net over it because of the mosquitoes and, you know, no AC, so windows open, that kind of thing.
Right.
Across the room, there was another bed where my other two aunts slept, you know, same thing with the netting. And this one night, my mom is trying to fall asleep. And I think at the time, you know, they're 12 and under, and there's, you know, the four of them. So just to kind of set the scene for you. And she sits up in the bed because she thinks she hears something in the kitchen was connected to the living room. It was a small house. And so she starts to nudge my aunt, my youngest aunt, and she's, you know, telling her to wake up because she hears something. And so my aunt says, "You don't hear anything. Just lay down, go back to sleep." And so my mom lays down.
Sisters can be such a pain.
Right? And so she lays down and she hears it again. And it's like a shuffling sound. And so she kind of sits up again and she's looking into the kitchen because she knows it's coming from the kitchen. And there is a shuffling sound. And so she wakes my aunt up again and says, "You need to get up. There's something in the kitchen and I'm not playing. I'm so freaked out right now." So they're both now sitting up looking into the kitchen, and it goes from shuffling, which they can't identify what the sound is, to then some metal, which turns out to be pots and pans moving around. No one is awake in the house. The house is pitch black, but they know there's something coming from the kitchen. And so it goes from the shuffling sound to then shuffling and pots and pans. So the final straw for them is they suddenly see this red light moving through the air.
Oh no.
And the screams erupt and they wake up the entire house, the entire damn house. And my grandmother and my grandfather come running out, and any other adults that are in the house are like, "What is going on?" And they're screaming and crying and incoherent, and finally are able to say, you know, "There was someone here. Someone's in the kitchen and they're, you know, walking around or shuffling, you know, doing something. And we heard pots and pans, and then there was a red light." Well, I mean, it took till the sun came up to console them. I mean, they had to take them outside in like in the fresh air. And they're like, "No, we're not going back in that house. There's no way." And come to find, they found out that a family member had passed that night. And mm-hmm, it's believed that, you know, loved ones make their rounds and say their goodbyes, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, different cultures believe. And this particular loved one used to, you know, that's kind of how she walked around, is there was kind of a shuffle from her slippers, and she would sweep and, you know, cook all the time. And the red floating light was a cigarette. Mm-hmm. So they found out just later that morning that she had passed away.
So were they freaked out? Were the adults freaked out? Or were they like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, the adults were so used to that. You know, little kids don't understand that. And I think even, you know, at this age, if I saw that, I'd be freaked out. Knowing everything I know, I would still be unsettled.
Oh, I'd be full on freaked out because that just, I mean,
right.
These ghostly, I mean, I don't have experience of them firsthand. Mm-hmm. So if I ever experienced that, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'd be a screaming girl. And oh, yeah.
I would too. I think I would. I mean, I've said before, I mean, I see a lot of energies in my mind's eye, and I see some with my physical eyes, but you know, the majority of the time it is in my mind's eye. So to see anything like that, I mean, either way, physical or mind's eye, I'd freak out.
Yeah.
It'd be scary.
I feel like, you know, things that I feel, you know, through my mind's eye, that doesn't freak me out so much because I'm in control. But if I saw something,
right, making its presence known like that
with my naked eye,
yeah, right.
I'd be throwing all kinds of Reiki symbols at them and running backwards and falling on my butt.
Is that like in a ritual or?
I'd be making up rituals. Panic. Yeah, I'd be making up rituals as I run out the door.
Throwing fire at them. And,
right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless it's something that I've asked for and was prepared for. Mm-hmm. And, oh, no. A little red light bouncing around.
Right.
Oh, heck no.
Well, I'll tell you this other story is that I, in our present home, which I guess has no relevance to the story, but since my grandma's been gone, I remember not long after she left, I started hearing the handles on the bureau drawers. They're brass handles. And, you know, you kind of like raise it up and pull the drawer out, push the drawer in and drop it back down. And it makes like a clinking kind of sound.
Right.
And so not long after she left, I started hearing this sound and I knew exactly what it was. And I went to reproduce it, And I'm like, okay, where the heck did that come from? So the first few times I was thinking that maybe when we closed the drawer, we left the handle up accidentally and it dropped back down. So it happened so much that I quickly, you know, dismissed that theory and was like, all right, somebody's here. And I wasn't afraid because I associated it with my grandmother. She bought that bureau for us. And so I was like, she's using what she can, what would resonate for me to communicate. And it only happened when I was alone in the house. Sean would be gone already. It's just me and the dogs. And that's when it would happen. And it seemed to happen like in twos, which was really odd. And it was in the morning hours, always in the morning. I'd say around 6:30 in the morning, something like that, is when it would happen as I'm getting ready for work. And it finally occurred to me that it would happen at that hour because that was the hour it was around that time that she had, you know, made the call to my mom, said, I'm not feeling good. And that was the last communication we had with her. I know. Don't get watery eyed because if I start crying, this episode goes to crap. So that finally occurred to me as I'm looking at and I'm like, why every morning is this? And so that's what was going on. And I, you know, I remember telling my mom about that and it for sure made her cry. I mean, we missed her so much. So, you know, and it was happening so much. So one morning I decided that I was going to put my phone on the bureau and hit record and just listen. And I'm like, all right. So I was in the bathroom listening to music, getting ready for work and, you know, just kind of doing my thing. And I heard it. I'm like, okay. And I walk out and I kind of look at, you know, and I do this all the time. If I hear it and I'm not in the middle of something, you know, I'm like right in the room, I'll go to the bureau and look at it. And I'm looking at all the handles and I want to see them move because I'm like, I know exactly where you are. But at the same time, I don't want to see them move. You know, it's like that push pull. So I heard it and then I heard it again. And I'm like, all right. So when I got to work, I pressed play on that recording and just listened and I could hear the music in the background and all that stuff. And then finally at like 22 minutes of recording, I have it written down somewhere, but it was like 22 minutes of recording. I could hear it loud as day. And I believe it was between the first one and the second one. I have to listen to it again. But between the first and the second sound, or right after the second sound, I hear this. And I was like, what the f-? It was so crazy. I still have that recording.
And none of the dogs were in the room, or?
They're always there. They're always underfoot. Always.
Could they have been sniffing the phone?
No, the phone was at the top of the bureau, like too high for them to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Even Huey at the time was a baby, so there he couldn't reach up there. And our girls don't jump up on stuff. So, yeah, nothing. I mean, they were laying in their beds like they do when I get ready every day. And, yeah, it was interesting for sure.
No air conditioner turning on. No rain that may have stopped.
No, because this was winter time, so we didn't have the air on, and it wasn't so cold that we needed the heat on either. There was nothing to explain it.
So what's the significance of the number two?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not sure why it does it twice, or why she does that twice. I've never figured that out. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, you know. I mean, the two people that she called on were me and my mom. So she called my mom and said, call Chantel, tell her to come. I'm not feeling good. And that was the last communication that we had with her.
Apparently not.
No, no, like physical. In the physical world. Right. And that first Christmas, you know, my husband and I did gifts at our house. We opened our own gifts at our house with our dogs. And they open their presents. And so we usually do this, and then we go to my parents' house and, you know, breakfast and all that good stuff. So we did that morning, and I had my phone recording like a video of, you know, Christmas morning and the dogs opening presents. And they do. Don't laugh. So, you know, it was a night. It was our first Christmas without her. So it was really difficult. But at the same time, it was also a really nice, you know what I mean? Like we really took the time to enjoy each other and, you know, really just saw the blessings all around us. And so as I'm recording, I keep seeing this movement in the camera. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And I'm thinking it's dust. And I keep seeing this movement and keep seeing this movement. And so I'm not thinking anything of it. And it's almost like the light kind of comes in and goes out and comes in and goes out. And my curiosity is piqued, but I'm not thinking that it's anything, you know, supernatural. I'm really thinking like, what is going on with the light? You know, is my phone messing up? Or, and I go, I had gotten Sean some tools of some sort, and he goes into the garage and is putting them away and organizing, you know, all his tools and stuff. And so I walk into the garage, and I'm recording him and talking to him as he's doing this. As I go to press stop, this enormous orb goes across the screen.
Oh, wow.
And so I freeze right there, and I know immediately. I'm like, okay, I've been shrugging this off and saying that it's, you know, dust particles or whatever it is, and I don't think that it is. So I say, hey, babe, I'm going to, you know, run to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And I went and sat in the bathroom and pressed play on that video, and it was not dust. There was so much activity. And I could see where there were dust particles, and then I could see what these other
orbs
were, right? It was so evident, the difference. And I just sat there and cried, because I knew that it was her way of saying, you know, I'm with you guys and I'm happy that you're happy. And it was that last big one that finally just caught my attention. And eventually I figured out how to expand it. And it's like you could see a face in it.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the craziest thing, but it was, you know, it was really special. And I still cherish that so much. I mean, it's been a few years since I've watch that video. That's still a little tough, but so cool to know that she was with us and just kind of sending us that sign. So I know this is not a haunting story, but it kind of goes in line with what we're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, it was really cool of her to do that. But I know that was her for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if the audience can hear it or not, but Tropical Storm Cindy is coming and going. Yeah. You can definitely hear it through the mics, the rain stopping and starting and stopping and starting.
Doesn't she know what we're doing right now?
Yeah, she knows that we're telling ghost stories.
Yeah, so really, really cool stuff. I mean, not all of it is cool, of course, but that story I like a lot. And I remember showing that video to one of my aunts, my oldest aunt, and I told her, I didn't tell her what it was, but I said, I have this really cool video from Christmas morning that I want you to see. And she, I think out of all of us, she had the absolute hardest time with my grandma's passing because they were so close. You know, she was the first one and they spent so much time together and they're like carbon copies of each other.
Oh, wow.
So she had a really, really difficult time. So in any event, my aunt has a lot of abilities. She is, I mean, the clairs, she's got them, and the, like, you name it, she's got it. And so I give her the phone, she presses play, and as soon as she does, she puts it down and starts to cry.
Aww.
And I'm like, what's wrong? Nothing's happened. And she's like, I know what this is. Hadn't seen anything. And I'm like, how the hell did you do that? And she goes, no, I can feel it. I can feel what's coming.
Aww.
And so eventually she was able to watch it. And, you know, she's like, I could just feel the love and the happiness. And I could feel, you know, that for you guys. And then that coming from her for you guys. And that was really interesting.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That's a cool story. I like that story a lot. I know she was with me. So that aside, I think I have, you know, not hauntings per se or ghost stories, but, you know, I can see other beings. And we have a cemetery here locally, and I was across the street from that cemetery doing something for work. And I'm looking over there and I see this man walking around the cemetery, this older man. And he's just walking around looking at the headstones, and he noticed me and then is standing by the fence. There's a chain link fence that goes around. It's a small cemetery, and there's a chain link fence that goes all the way around it. And so he noticed me and walked over to the fence and is looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I know from the very beginning that he is not a physical being.
You made eye contact with a ghost.
I did. And then I looked away thinking, oh, crap, was that a good idea?
It's like when you're at the bar. Don't make eye contact.
Right. That could have been my hitchhiker. Who knows? I don't think it was. So me looking at him, or me seeing him, this man was significantly older and, you know, wearing like khakis and a button down sweater, like, you know, he has retired and that kind of thing. And it's like he was looking for a loved one, like a family member or something, and is looking at the headstones. I mean, no big deal. He didn't, you know, make a face or anything, but, you know, I could see him there and
hanging out.
Yeah. Hanging out, looking for a loved one is what it seemed like. You know, I'm like, I didn't feel like it was him looking for his own sight, but he's looking for someone he's not connected with again. Maybe a wife, maybe, you know, whomever. I don't know.
Somebody he's missing.
Right, right.
Maybe sounds like they've moved on to the other side, but he hasn't figured it out yet, so he's stuck here by himself.
That's what I was thinking, because I was wondering, you know, I'm like, well, why, you know, and this was, I mean, it was months ago, I think. But I, you know, it's we're going to be students forever.
Yes, we are.
Learning all kinds of things. So, I mean, I know Marie and I talk about stuff all the time, and we have a lot of questions, and a lot of times we're able to answer questions, which is really cool. But sometimes these things will come up and, you know, we'll kind of bounce things off each other. But I felt the same thing that, you know, initially I was thinking, well, you know, why is he walking around here? And I'm getting I have that knowing that he's looking for a loved one. So why aren't they together? And then realized that he must be earthbound, not because of something negative, but because he is missing someone. And so I was thinking that the feeling I was getting is that it is a loved one, and I just couldn't quite identify if it was a loved one who had crossed over already or a loved one who was still here in the physical world, and he wasn't sure. He didn't know that.
Oh, and he's looking for that
right.
person.
So he's just looking for someone. But, you know, if he's looking in a cemetery, then maybe this person has crossed over.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're Chantel and I work together and or we work for the same company. And we do work in some pretty old buildings.
We do. We
do. I would imagine you see a lot.
I do. Actually, I was at a site. We were doing some renovations at the site.
Because it's an old building.
Yeah, it's an old building. And so what we were doing specifically was renovating. We were doing HVAC work, which required, ceiling tiles coming down and above ceiling work, all that good stuff. So we had to move people out of their spaces so we could do this work. And in the course of that, I'm, you know, walking through the job site one day and I see a woman standing in the, I think it's the records room is what they call it. Mm-hmm. And she's standing in there and she is filing papers. And I know immediately that she is not in physical form. She is a, you know, she's crossed over. And so I went in there with our engineer and someone else, and we're standing in there and we're talking about the project, and she is looking at us and she's looking annoyed, and we're in her space and she can't focus and
you were disturbing her work.
Right. And she's like
so rude.
Yeah, she's a little sassy, and you know, but she was dressed like a woman would look if she were like in the 50s, and she relayed that to me, that she used to work there and I think last worked there in the 50s, or I don't recall all the information that she
did. She give you a name?
If she did, I don't remember it. I want to say she did, but I don't know, something with an M is coming to me, but I'm not gonna say. So yeah, she was a little sassy, and you know, we were in her space and she's trying to work, and you know, she had been there for a long time, according to her. And I don't know if a long time means, a long time in the physical world, or she's counting the physical world and the life she leads.
The afterlife.
Right, the afterlife.
Well, if she was in there filing papers, I know, to me, when I have to do that, it does seem like forever.
It is an eternity. Maybe that's hell. You got to file papers.
In the afterlife, you're sitting there right. By a file cabinet? Yeah, that's not cool.
Right. And no Band-Aids for your paper cuts.
Ouch.
Yep. You have been punished. No, she was nice, but she, she was firm about her craft. And yeah, it was really interesting to see her. And I have seen her one other time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One other time, and it was, I want to say it was towards the end of construction when I saw her again, but she didn't really acknowledge me. So I think she was bored of me already. I don't know. I'm not that interesting. I wouldn't talk to me either.
She's like, oh, that's that human that interrupted my filing.
Right. You and your friends.
Like, get out.
Mm-hmm. Moral of the story, I guess, make sure you're protected all the time.
Yes.
Maybe not all the time, because you need to let stuff in too, like good stuff.
The good stuff, but good you stuff, set yeah. your boundaries.
Exactly. Set your boundaries.
Set the rules.
For sure. I mean, I've done clearings in my house, and I still have the, you know, the handles on the bureau going. But I did, as part of my boundary creations, did say that, you know, God's light beings are permitted to be in my space. And I do believe that my loved ones are light beings, and you know, they've crossed over into the light. So yeah, we say it a lot. We will say it a lot. Make sure you protect yourself and clear your space and clear yourself and your aura and all that good stuff, because, you know, we're in a world with a lot of energy, and that stuff is, it's attracted to good energy.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So with that, you guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of The Medium Matters. We hope we gave you some good stuff to talk about and think about. Please don't forget that you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Medium Matters. You can also email me at themediummatters@gmail.com. You can find the episodes on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher under The Medium Matters. And please don't forget to leave reviews, follow us, and subscribe. Please don't forget that you guys have the power. Your loved ones are always with you, always, always, always. And from the very bottom of my heart, I am sending love and light to one and all.